Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're delighted to welcome in John Paxson, the Bulls Executive Vice President of Basketball Operation. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, John. How are you?
Morning, John.
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Oh, we're doing well, John. Obviously, I had all the lucky implements out trying to help pull you guys through the birth canal, tearing sheets, boiling water. Let's get this lottery thing done. But, that's life. That's the ups and downs and the bounce of the ping pong ball. And you guys, you could have been as low as eighth and you end up seventh. And we were hoping for one or two. But I don't know. I mean, it's got to be disappointing. But I'm sure for yourself, it's get to work. Here we go.
Well, it's disappointing. You can accept it for a minute or two, but then you got to move on. Right. And because everybody who walks in that building who has a stake in it, you know, hopes for some luck. And, you know, so last night, New Orleans and Memphis are the two teams that walked out of there better than they were before, you know, when they walked in. So, but I think the telling thing in all this is, you know, last year the league decided to change the lottery format. And I think at the end of the day, it's for all the right reasons. You know, they want to see the teams competing and not, you know, sitting players, that type of thing. Which, you know, when you are in a rebuild situation or you're not very good, you know, sometimes you take a look at players. But the long story short is that I think what happened last night is what they envisioned. That and you'll see as this thing progresses that teams will not do some things maybe they've done in the past. And it was as crazy a night as I've seen. I mean, just the drama to it. And, the fortunate thing for us is, I think, you know, first of all, three of the four top teams are out west. So they're, you know, the good players that they're going to get are out west. And when you're thinking of conferences and moving back to seven, if we weren't going to be in the top few, moving back to seven actually gives us a little more cap space this year, because of the slotted position. You know, we had slotted in our salary at number four, now we're at seven. So it gives us a little more cap space to work with this summer too. So we're looking at it in that way. And you're right. We go to work and that's part of the fun part of this process now as we delve into the draft a little bit more.
So John, the draft lottery process seems a bit of an awkward experience. It's more like a game show.
It's sort of strange.
So you're there the second year in a row. What has to happen, whether it's the player you draft, the free agents you sign, or a combination of both? What has to happen so you're not back for another year?
Yeah, it's a combination of that. But it's most important, and you know, we talk about it all the time. It's the growth of our key players. You know, the last 2 years we've drafted guys at seven, Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. We have great hope for them, but they have to grow as players. We need them to be really good. We need them to improve, show that they, you know, are top level talent in the league. We believe they have that in them. So we need that. We need Zach LaVine to play at a high level. You know, he averaged 23 a game, which is not easy to do in our league. But there's so many areas that he can improve in. You know, we felt that last year at the trade deadline, we got a guy in Otto Porter that we really like. He's just a very good basketball player. So, you know, it's 2, 3, 4, and 5 right now. We feel really good. But they all have to grow as players. They're still young and they have to grow. So it's a combination of all those things. And then we have to get some real depth. You know, the injuries last year that we had no control over really did hurt us. You know, having four guys out due to some type of surgery or lengthy time out like Lauri had at the very beginning, those things hurt us. So, you know, so we're going to have to grow in a lot of areas. But I've always felt this way that, you know, we'll find value at seven. You know, it's funny, we've had seven so many times. You know, first draft, years ago, we got Kirk Heinrich. It turned out to be a really good player for us, Lou Aldeng as well. And then these last 2 years getting the two young guys that we got. So I believe we find value there. So you add a piece there, but we need to go into free agency and get some vet guys that really know how to play and can help you win games. Because the bottom line for me and for us is that we have to get back to being a competitive basketball team where a fan base looks at us, appreciates the way we play, and we can keep growing from there. And I'm confident that we will if we can stay healthy and add a few real important pieces to our roster.
John, you mentioned the fact that you guys have been having some players breaking down. Have you broken down why? I mean, do you understand? Is it just bad luck, or how do you? I mean, we haven't seen the core really play together.
No, we haven't. No. Well, you know, the four major injuries we had last year were things we could not. I don't know how you you train to not have those. I mean, Lowry, the third day of training camp, hurt his elbow, and then, just going for a rebound, and his arm got wrenched a certain way. So, he was out. And then, Wendell falling in Los Angeles and breaking his thumb, which required surgery. You know, guys fall on the floor all the time, and things like that don't happen. Chandler Hutchinson breaks a bone in his foot. Denzel Valentine was out the whole year with an ankle injury. Those were the four things that we felt. You really can't control from a looking at your medical stuff. We have great confidence in our group. We have a guy, Chip Schaefer, who's got great credentials, been around the league forever. He leads our group. We believe our guys train the right way. And at the end of last year, we had a few little minor things that we wanted. We had guys trying to get back from. Zach and Chris Dunn were trying to get back from some things. The only guy last year, last season that we took a look at more than anything was Otto, because we never had him before, and we really wanted to make sure that we were taking care of some of the things that we felt he needed to take up to get a jump start maybe into the summer and working out and being healthy. So, it's a fair question, because we've had so many of these freak injuries, but I do think that most of them have been simply things we have no control over. And, hopefully in that respect, I'd rather have a little luck that way going forward, because I would like to see our group together, especially as they get older and mature. I think that's where we need to see them play together, because I think that will determine how good we can be.
John, how aggressive will you shop the number seven pick to see if there's a veteran out there to be a trade that can help you immediately?
Well, that's, I said last night, we're going to look at this with a real open mind. I think we are at a position where we need to find the best players we can to help this group. I've made no bones about the fact that, I've listed some guys, and I've mentioned Chris one time, and we have not at all given up on Chris Dunn as a basketball player, but we need really good play from the point guard position. It's too important of a spot in this game to not have a player or two that is really good for you. So, and I think the point guard, in so many ways, you see it all the time. You can make the game so much easier for other players, and especially when you have two young bigs like we have, if you can get them easy baskets, things like that. So we're going to be open-minded to a lot of things. And, the thing we'll do now, we do now is we delve deeply into the draft process. It's an opportunity for us to get these young players into our building, get to know them a little bit, and getting to know them plays a big part in it, because you see who they are, what they represent, and sometimes that feel helps you make your decision as you move forward. But we will be open to many different things, and we do have some flexibility with our cap space now, and so you can trade into it, you can do a lot of things with it. So we'll be open minded.
Generally speaking, John, are you going to be more position-driven in this draft than in previous ones? Or is there any way, and I don't know if you'd even do it, but let's just say there's some freakishly tall man that that might be related to some guy you used to play against or another another guy who's freakishly tall. I mean, yeah. Is it risk-reward now at seven?
Sometimes it is, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's always some unknowns, especially when you're looking at these kids because they're so young. But like I said, being open-minded means that, you know, in the past we've always kind of had our board up, and, you know, most times we go by the board. If something happens, then, you know, we take the player. But we oftentimes, you know, we tier guys. We're in, you know, since the college season has gone on and ended, we tier certain players. But I think sometimes you get to a point where you do have to look at need. I'm not saying that's what necessarily what we do, but I think there are times when if you're looking at a group of players and, you know, they're kind of in the same grouping for you, maybe need does take mean more to you than take, you know, just taking somebody, you know, else that you like. So we'll be looking at everything. It's, you know, for us, it's, you know, we have to look at it this way. And I truly believe this. You know, last night, to me, if you got in the top two or three, you were, you know, that was the big thing for last night. And so, you know, those teams, you know, they're better off today, you know, for getting that high up in the lottery. But after that, it becomes, okay, now you get down and dirty, grind it, you work, you figure out what's best for your organization. And we'll do that. I think we've had a pretty good track record at this spot in the draft of finding quality. And what we want now, and we want to get back to being a hard playing competitive team. And, you know, we've got a coach that I've been able, since we made the change last year, to spend a lot of time with. I think Jim has the right values in terms of how he wants to play to get us to that competitive, you know, that competitive way of playing again. And so I think we're at the very beginning of something that we can sustain. And it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take our players getting better. There's no getting around that. We need that to happen. And but I do feel good internally about these first steps we're taking to get there.
John, you said last night that dropping to seventh, it wasn't catastrophic. And I think you're looking at it the way you have to look at it. But for people who might look at this draft as a two-person draft in terms of generational talent, and they feel deflated by the idea of, okay, here the Bulls drafting seventh again, what would you say to them to inspire any sort of optimism going into a season where the fan base is as dissatisfied and disenchanted as I've seen it in years?
Well, there's nothing we can do about the lottery, David. I mean, we all would have liked to walk out of there last night having one of the top few picks, but we didn't. And, you know, I think we have an opportunity to get better. And you're right, generational talent doesn't come around very often. And, you know, the fact that you know, we weren't the team to land that, you know, it's frustrating, disappointing, but we can't dwell on it. I mean, it doesn't do us any good to dwell on it. I do think we have an opportunity to become a much better basketball team this year. We just have not had any. It's been so disjointed the last couple of years with the changes we made, and then, you know, the injuries we've had and not having guys together. And I'm well aware of what our fan base, how they look at this. I'm also well aware of what we need to do to get better. There's, you know, I've mentioned things already here with you guys. So, but I have to remain positive and optimistic in our approach, and I'll continue to do that. The people I work with, I know how we go through our business. I know how we process information and come to decisions, and I've been very confident in that. And so we're just going to keep grinding it out and making the best decisions going forward to get better.
I know, John, you've said that luck is not a plan, but you almost have to get lucky with some of these players. You almost have see them, you know, develop into what you believe they can be.
Well, but that's a part of the whole deal. When when we drafted Lowry a couple of years ago, you envision what they can become, and right. Oftentimes it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, the guys that step into this game immediately and impact the game from day one consistently, they're rare. I mean, you know, and generally they're, little more mature guys, you know, outside of LeBron. I mean, he was just, you know, so good and so gifted. You know, all rookies are going to struggle, that type of thing. So we need to see improvement, obviously, but it does take some time. And I do think we have people in place that help our development of players. But again, they have to stay on the floor for us. We you know, that's the biggest thing. We have to have them out on the floor playing consistently. And you know, so that to me is where we need a little bit of luck, is that we get them where they're healthy and we're playing with some consistency because we have a full roster.
John, we'll let you go. When, you know, given the difficulty you've had with just having the core on the floor, when do you know when to give the guys an extension? When do you know? Does that interrupt the business element in a way?
Well, that you know, the way our situation is set up, you know, you got basically 3 or 4 years to make a decision on the young guys you draft.
Right.
And so, you know, we're on the clock there with a guy like Lowry and you know, but Wendell's just had the 1 year. So we're in pretty good shape there. And again, I think what we did at the trade deadline last year, getting Otto, was a key move for us. You know, because we looked at the landscape this summer. We knew there were going to be a ton of teams with cap space. There's a lot of money in the market this come July 1. And, you know, we have some. We don't have, you know, as much as, you know, some of the others, but, you know, we have some to improve our team. But, you know, trading for Otto, you know, if we hadn't done that, we'd be sitting here right now looking at possibly extending, you know, Bobby Portis, who we had, but still without a small forward and some other needs. So I think that is something that we feel, you know, really positive about. And, you know, and I think it'll help us moving forward as we, you know, we're going to have to address our needs. That's a big part of this, but you can do that through draft. You can do it through free agency. You can do it through trade. And like I said, at the very beginning, we're going to be looking at all those things.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Best of luck.
Okay, guys. I appreciate it very
much.
Take care.
Talk to you soon.
That is the Bulls executive vice president of basketball operations, John Paxson. And, you know, John is a living proof. You can draft later in a draft, find a guy at number 19 that can get a shot to win a championship.
Well, they have to look at it that way. They have to look at it, the fact that, you know, they can't stop operating and looking at it because they didn't get the first or second pick. You have to make the best of your situation. And right now, that's picking seventh.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Be curious to hear if Bull fans heard what they wanted to from John, and if they feel that maybe this can work out better than people think. And, you know, and we have a texter saying, don't encourage this guy to draft one of those big guys. I'm just asking.
You want the experiment. You want to take a chance. You
want
to be a risk taker.
I want them to go get themselves the best players they can get. I don't know how you find them.
It could be. I'd like to see them take that pick and turn it into a veteran point guard. Maybe an expensive one.
If you could get Mike Conley
With the seventh pick in a package. Yeah, certainly.
But that would make them.
He's expensive.
Considerably
he's very
better.
Expensive.
26.30
million plus.
Is it 30 million plus?
That's the price of playing poker in today's NBA. Well, I don't know if they have enough cap space. They'd have to be creative. But look, as he said, they're keeping an open mind, and they have to.
Right.
They're not in a position to do anything, take anything for granted.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Moving back to seven actually gives us a little more cap space this year because of the slotted position. You know, we had slotted in our salary at number four, now we're at seven. So it gives us a little more cap space to work with this summer, too. So we're looking at it in that way, and you're right. We go to work, and that's part of the fun. The fun part of this process now as we delve into the draft a little bit more.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. That was a comment from John Paxson. We just talked to him, and people didn't like that somehow, thought that you know, it's not about saving money. What he's saying is they don't have a slotted pick in terms of this guy we're definitely taking. Now you start experimenting, looking around, seeing what you're going to end up with, and you have a little bit more money to support the team in free agency.
What he's saying is that he's trying to make the best out of the situation.
That's all
they can do.
Right.
They're not going to be able to change the math. They finished seventh. They wanted to finish first. They wanted to finish second. They're seventh. That's the reality you have to deal with. And part of dealing with that reality is rationalizing the fact that, okay, you are drafting lower than you would have been, so you take advantage of that from a salary cap perspective.
The simple fact is that they are having a very difficult time finding that so-called generational talent because they're not picking high enough in the draft because they're not a destination team in free agency. So if you're not going to get if you know, Kyrie hasn't dreamed of playing in Jordan's shoes, if Durant doesn't want to come here and play in Michael Jordan's shoes, then you're going to have to face the reality that you need to find that player through the draft. Unfortunately, the ping pong balls didn't bounce their way. So now you move on and you try another way of putting together a team. And you're back to what they tried to do before, which was build that Detroit style, many parts making the whole as opposed to the generational talent.
Depth, culture, identity, defense, stuff like that. Look, it's not sexy, and you're not going to get the free agent because you've never been able to get the free agent, but you've got to do something, and you had to hope. I mean, hope and luck are still part of the process because look at – you mentioned Steph Curry. I mean, he panned out. He was seventh. Look at Giannis. Look at Kawhi Leonard. They were 15th in the first round. They turned out to be stars.
Yeah.
You don't have to draft first or second to find a star. The Bulls have to find their star – drafting lower. Is it likely? Probably not, but you can't discount the possibility, and it's all they can do right now.
They need Donovan Mitchell type. They need a guy that, and they need one of these guys that they have to turn out to be better than maybe people think they are.
Jimmy Butler. Now. He was drafted, what, 30th? Turned into a star.
That's right.
They need to find another Jimmy Butler in that way, in the terms of a guy that becomes a max player that you didn't expect to become a max player.
They're listed as 10-1 to get Jimmy Butler, by the way, in free agency.
No.
You don't think they're listed at 10-1 to get him?
No, Joe knows. If there are odds out there, Joe's aware of
them. Joe, you're aware that they are listed. I didn't say they were going to go after him or they were going to get him. I just said they were listed.
That's a horrible number. Should be 100. There's no way he's coming back here.
Why?
Really?
No, I know. I'm having fun.
Maybe they can bring in Rondo too, and D Wade come out of retirement.
All right, we got a lot of people thanks. Who want to talk about it. We're going to get to all your phone calls first. Let's get a scoreboard update. Thanks, Joe. Let's get to some phone calls. Mully and Hall on the score. We'll start.
Read the text line forever.
With Tim. He's in Portage Park.
Hey, Tim. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thank you for that interview with Tax. I wish you'd just talk me off the ledge because I feel like we're destined to have just another team of good players. And without that generational talent, does Paxson honestly believe they can win an NBA championship with good players in this NBA?
Well, that's a really good question. I think that he would probably say yes. But I think the exceptions, they are the exceptions. The rule is you have a star, you follow that star, and you celebrate a title. That's not the Bulls' method right now because they don't have that guy. But I don't know after what happened last night how you are closer to finding that guy. So you do the best you can to figure it out, and that is drafting the best player available at 7 and hope he could become the star.
Yeah, I understand the frustration that people feel because they did not land, they didn't get it in terms of, we know where the first three players are going and they didn't finish in the top three. You know, the fourth player.
You think RJ Barrett's definitely locked in at third?
Okay. Don't you?
Likely, yeah.
Yeah, I think he is.
If it's not him, they're getting a little too cute probably.
Yeah. And so now you got to do some work. Now you got to find a guy. Now you got to create a player for the number 7 spot if you don't trade it. Joe is listening online. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, so in Vegas, you get 3 sevens in a row, you get your jackpot, right? So this would be our third 7. So I was thinking, Cam Reddish, if somehow we can move Zach LaVine to the point position, draft Reddish, and get your – and we need shooters. And
right. I don't know about him, though. I don't know that he has an NBA mentality, that he has the kind of
– He drifted at times.
Competitive streak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think okay. – who knows? But, I mean, in my mind, I'm hoping he has great workouts so he's off the board. That's really, having watched him in college, I'm not like you are about it.
Kobe White's interesting, though, the North Carolina point guard, because he has a lot of potential. He's fast, and he has a lot of skills that you would like to see translate to the NBA.
If some of these guys have great workouts and somehow, you know, Darius Garland falls, could be a guy.
They're workouts, though.
I'm just saying.
Cam Reddish shot 36% last year. I mean, he is nothing but potential and wingspan and length. I mean, he's a project. He has shown nothing, even at the college level at Duke, with two other superstars on that team to free up the court for him.
Is that maybe part of it? I mean, you know, the reason I think R.J. Barrett is definitely going is going third is that he was the projected number one overall pick.
Yeah, before these two guys.
Before Zion kind of went crazy and John Moran.
You're right, but Mr. Risk Taker. So if Darius Garland drops to number 7, is that the good news or the bad news? Because is it good news because he is so dynamic, or the bad news because people are not drafting
maybe
him because of his knee?
Maybe it's injury related. Whatever happens, if you can get a player like that,
would you take a flyer on him?
I'd take a flyer on him because it's 7. There's no sure thing, you know.
Though, that's an interesting perspective.
You're
saying that because you thought you were drafting first or second. If you were,
look at Steph Curry. Why did he fall to 7? Because he was playing at Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
He was a guy who was thought to be just a jump shooter.
But the last 2 years, we're going into this draft thinking, they're drafting 7, they're getting a sure thing. Right?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
Did you think they were getting a sure thing?
I thought that Markkanen looked like a pretty sure thing. I thought that Wendell Carter Jr. had the most certainty.
Can he play?
Well, I think he can play. I think he was limited by injury, but I think he can play.
I don't know.
I think it's a matter of perspective, and the fact that the expectations were so high. And then they were so dashed that now we're looking at it like, oh, you can take a risk at 7. Whereas I think that if you were thinking you were going to draft 14th and you were picking 7th, you'd be like, oh, wow.
But is there a slotted player at 7?
Right now in this draft, I don't know enough about the top 10 prospects.
It seems like there's
absolutely
3 guys slotted. That's it.
3 guys.
Who goes 4th? Isn't that a lock? If it's the Lakers, they want the point guard. You know, maybe that's where Darius Garland goes. Maybe they like another point guard more. I don't know.
Last year was different. Last year there were some guys. There was probably a deeper draft at the top, but yeah, I think that they can still get a player. They can plug and play at 7.
Let's try Brett. He's in Willowbrook.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, good morning, guys. So this might be sour grapes as a Bulls fan a bit, but I don't think I really like the new lottery reform system, and here's why. I mean, on one hand, it looks like it's going to disincentivize tanking because clearly the three worst teams didn't get the top pick, and I guess that's good. But not every crappy team is tanking, right? Like, sometimes the teams just stink. And I don't think the Bulls were tanking. I think they were just bad.
Injured. Arguing. I think the Bulls planned to be better than they were, and they wanted to see what their core looked like, and those guys never were on the floor at the same time.
Go ahead.
So what I'm saying is, you know, so they dropped to 7, and a team like the Lakers jumped 7 spots. A team like the Pelicans jumped 7. And this is how it's going to be every year. Like, how are the bad teams going to get better if they're just going to keep falling? If it's going to be like this volatile of lottery, right? Because, again, I know you don't want teams tanking, and that was sort of the point. But not everybody is. And if those teams are never going to be able to get top picks now, and teams that are just missing the playoffs can just jump up to, like, 4, I don't think that's really that great of a system either. So wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Thanks so much, Brett.
It's a valid point. It's a good point to make. But I still think that if you eliminate tanking or the temptation to do so, you improve the integrity of the league. And you eliminate the conversations like, oh, was that a bad win in the middle of February?
Well,
and those things are happening less.
That's fair, David. I don't argue with that. But I got to tell you, I thought that the point that Joe made in the 5 at 5, that now kind of the middle group of teams will understand that you're better off being in the lottery and getting a shot at the number 1 pick than you would be making the playoffs and getting run out in the first round. So have you extended tanking in unintended consequences?
You think the Pistons feel worse about their offseason and in the last year than the Lakers?
I think if the Pistons had a chance for the number 1 overall pick as opposed to getting run out, I think they'd rather have the number 1 pick.
It's a small percentage. I mean,
they defied the odds. The
Pelicans had a 6% chance,
the
and
Pelicans,
it came through.
At one point, might have made the playoffs. But
there's no
Anthony
way
Davis walked away.
I understand what you're saying, but there's no way I would abandon the idea of making the playoffs being better than a 6% chance to get the top guy?
I think Dustin made the point earlier that Theo ruined sports with that tank. 312-644-6767. Oh, Dustin.
Here's a mirror.
Dustin, I made a joke and Dustin got infuriated. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
We have to get some real depth. You know, the injuries last year that we had no control over really did hurt us. You know, having four guys out due to some type of surgery or lengthy timeout like Lowry had at the very beginning, those things hurt us. So, you know, so we're going to have to grow in a lot of areas.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We had a conversation with John Paxson. You heard a little bit of it there. Really hope to have a little bit of a celebration this morning with John. And unfortunately, the Bulls, I guess, worst case scenario, eighth pick. They got the seventh pick.
Yeah.
Feels pretty close.
It feels pretty bad. It's a deflated feeling amongst Bulls fans. And I think Casey Johnson tweeted out a little while ago when Pax told us about the salary cap saving. They're trying to look at the bright side here, okay? So when you drop from a projected 4 to 7, you're not happy about it. But the thing that you do get is a little bit more cap space, probably roughly $1.4 million just because of the way the rookie salaries are slotted. That will leave the Bulls around $21 million in cap space. Now, if they get a ruling that in favor of there's a Omer Asik issue with his health situation, if they rule in favor of the Bulls, that will allow and open up $3 million more. So you could have as much as $24 million in cap space going into free agency. That's, you know, gives you some flexibility. You're going to be able to pursue a free agent point guard, maybe Patrick Beverley, somebody like that. I don't know if Terry Rozier from Boston is a guy that as a restricted free agent would be out there. He made some news yesterday talking about his days with the Celtics.
Oh, yeah, he's done with
They may
the
want him to get out of town.
Yeah.
You have some options. Mike Conley is a guy that's going to be talked about. We already mentioned him. He makes $32 million next year. You're going to have to create some more space under your salary cap if you're going to trade for a Mike Conley. But these are all options, and John Paxson said they're going to keep an open mind.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they shopped Mike Conley. They couldn't get a taker. They couldn't get value. They ended up trading Marc Gasol. So the thinking is, they got the second pick. They use it on Ja Morant. Do you want him playing with a guy to show him the ropes, or do you want to go to a new era? Do you want to pick up more picks? And you know, it would take more than the number 7 pick, though, to make that
absolutely
deal happen.
Yeah, because he's a guy that has proven. He's 31 years old as well. But when they made the Otto Porter Jr. trade, he was younger, but it was because he had 2 more years left on his contract. You looked at it as a worthwhile investment or risk. Mike Conley has 2 more years left, 2 seasons left under contract, but he's set to make another $66 million in that time.
Could you get Jimmy for the $24 million? Just kidding. Jamal is in Flossmoor. Morning, Jamal.
Good morning, Jamal.
How you doing?
Good.
You know what? I the Bulls are in NBA hell right now. And all of this conversation gets you absolutely nothing. And anybody you pick in this draft moves the needle not 1 inch. And so my issue with Pax is not definitely not what happened last night, because you can't control that. But the past 15 to 16 years and the lack of creativity. I mean, look at what Toronto did, went out and got a superstar for 1 year. You know, these are the same guys that are paying Cristiano Felicio $30-plus million. So at the end of the day,
could you include him in a trade?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I was kidding.
Some basketballs. I think at this point, you know, I would hope that they could maybe package that pick, maybe a player, and get a veteran to come in. But, of course, that still doesn't move the needle. And they want to tout Otto Porter, but as much money as he's making, I think you got him for another year. What does that really get you? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you want to flip him and trade him to someone else and try to get something back.
Do you not think he's worth keeping, Jamal? Do you like him as a player?
I think he's a decent player, but what does it get you? So I think at the end of the day, you know, as a Bulls fan for many years and as a fan of sports in general, the object is always to win the championship. you know, right. to get back to being competitive or being an eighth seed or seventh seed, that doesn't get you anything. And so at the end of the day, I mean, you can play all these little pieces and talk about the seventh pick in the draft. It does nothing. So at some point, either the Bulls have to make a move with the front office or Pax and Gar have to get creative and stop playing everything so safe and actually try to make a move that will move the franchise forward.
Thanks, Jamal. Good phone call. Yeah, I there's the risk-taking idea that you keep promoting at number seven in the offseason.
Well, listen, trading it is also a risk. I mean,
it is a risk.
You know, you never know who's sitting there. Look,
I'm not as willing as Jamal is to give up on Otto Porter Jr. as a player, though. And I think he has value. He spaces the floor. He's a good shooter.
Yeah.
He's also a professional.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a lot to like about him.
But let me ask you this. Is Otto Porter Jr., is Zach LaVine, is Lauri Markkanen, is Wendell Carter, who am I missing?
Denzel Valentine?
Yeah, I don't think so. Are any of those guys going to the All-Star game in Chicago next year?
Okay, I didn't know where you're going with that.
I'm just saying.
Markkanen could. Zach LaVine could. Those are guys who are probably...
You would need both of them to, and you'd need some impact rookie. I mean, I'm saying they're far away. They're far away from what Jamal is even talking about here. And they are a lot closer to a return trip to the lottery next year than they are to a playoff spot, even if it's a seventh seed. Eighth seed.
They missed out on the lotteries, but I still think that when they're sitting in their boardroom and they're talking about next year and they're not fooling themselves, you've got to look at if they stay healthy, that they're going to be competitive for they can flirt with a 500 level team, right?
They only won 22 games last year.
They had nobody
Kevin,
healthy.
The end of the season, they lost a bunch of games. Look at the group they had out there. They had guys from the D League.
So what's the guarantee that they're going to be healthy if they haven't been healthy before?
Well, that's something you can't control, Kevin. That you're right. There's no guarantee. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, boy, you know what? They're going to stay. Markkanen's going to play in 75 games. And Zach LaVine's going to play in 75 games. I have no idea. I can't predict anybody's health. But when you plan.
Who's their best player?
Who's the best player? Lauri Markkanen. When healthy.
So would you trade Markkanen and your draft pick to move up in the draft?
For who's going to take that?
You're not going to get the number one pick.
Nobody's going to take that. No.
Would you trade Lauri Markkanen to Memphis?
For the number two pick?
If you could get it. Markkanen, LaVine, and I don't know.
I don't think they would do that.
No. So what is it? What do you want them to do?
Stay healthy. Draft a player that's going to be another
guy. Win the lottery next year. This is what you're saying, right? One of these guys isn't going to turn into the generational talent you thought you had, right? So they got to go get somebody, and they got to get a decent player. I'm telling you, this is so much harder than it looks. And the very fact that you can't get one of the premier players to come to Chicago, that's the flaw in the system.
So are you telling me, if the Bulls are healthy and they get a good player at seven, that if they have enjoyed full health all season long, they're not a 500 team.
I mean, it's going to be hard to nearly double their win total from last year.
Forget last year's win total, because I think last year's win total skews the entire thing.
So,
because do you look at that roster?
Here's what you're saying.
Are they a 500 team?
What you're saying.
I say no.
What you're saying.
You say no? Okay.
That's fair enough. You're saying that these are your Niners.
Yes.
You just need a Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. So expose me as a fraud. I'm going to say,
these are
my Niners. These are like Peter King's he talked about when we called him on. And what are the 49ers doing in your top 10? He says every now and then you got to go out and you take a chance. And you look at a team like, okay, if they're healthy, this is going to happen. I think if the Bulls are healthy, that's not going out on a limb to say they can compete for a 500 record.
They have some good pieces, and they have players that could continue to get
develop.
A little bit better and develop. But the problem and the main source of the frustration is that the two people in charge have been here for so long and have not proven one bit.
I get it.
That they can,
I get it. That's not changing, Kevin.
And that's not changing. But
that's not changing.
I mean, there's nothing John Paxson could have said with you guys.
No, absolutely.
That
was my deflation last night, okay? That was my personal deflation, because when they got the seventh pick, I thought, they're going to miss out on Zion. It's like, oh, my God, we're going to have to go another year listening to everybody complain about Garpax. We're going to have to listen to everybody whine about what they're not doing and who they aren't. And that's tiresome. It just is.
But it's justifiable, though.
It is justifiable. The cynicism is. But at some point, you got to step back and be objective and say, all right, if they are healthy, this is not a team that is a 22-win team. It just isn't.
It's so funny in a way that the fan base isn't motivated now by a great draft pick. It's motivated now in terms of being like inflamed with anger.
Yes.
There's like a certain explosion now.
Okay, if we can't get excited about Zion, at least we can get excited about they'll be bad enough to fire the front office officials that are responsible for this.
But you think about that. You know, you either had to hit the lotto or it's doom and disaster.
Or blow it up.
Exactly.
So
and that's, hey, that's the reality
of the
situation.
That's the world we live in, black or white. There is no gray. So forget about gray. I know it's about winning a championship, Texters. Thank you very much for the update. Sorry. Just get tired of the whole thing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.